Like all Christians, I have a past that I am not very proud of. I have been a prisoner of my lustful desires and pornography for more than 2 decades. And for more than 3 decades, what I thought was a true worship of God was actually a life of idolatry. I prayed and knelt before man-made idols that I substituted for the one true God. I even attributed my passing of the bar exams to my favorite idol, which I believed was a representation of Jesus Christ. When I became a lawyer, my sins and vices became worse, and I became a proud person, and my pride prevented me from recognizing my own sins and even led me to reject Christ a number of times when the gospel was shared to me. In September of 2005, I was heartbroken and depressed. But the Lord was really good to me because a relative of mine who was a CCFer and who has persistently invited me to CCF for 2 years brought me to a weekend encounter retreat. There, I felt comforted by new friends from my breakout group. On the second night of the retreat, I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ and accepted Him as Savior and Lord, as I understood for the very first time how His sacrifice on the cross is sufficient payment for my sins. I was also baptized and at that retreat, and I felt an inner peace and joy that day that I have never experienced before, but I have searched for all my life. The verse that spoke to me the most back then was Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I faithfully attended the D-group meetings, and I went to Sunday worship services at CCF after the retreat. I completed my GLC Level 1 classes in my first year as a Christian, and even went through it a few times because I wanted to be more fruitful for the Lord, but felt so inadequate in biblical knowledge. However, in spite of my growing knowledge of God, I sadly did not experience much intimacy with the Lord during my first few years as a Christian. This was because I compromised my relationship with Him as I still held on to certain religious practices from my former church. My sinful habits came back, and I led a defeated Christian life. It was only when I experienced living in the presence of God, moment by moment, that I finally started growing in my intimacy with Him. I was able to lead a victorious life by the grace of God. My desire to know God more and to be useful for His kingdom led me to enroll in and complete GLC levels 2 to 4. The equipping I got from GLC helped me as I faced daily battles in and out of the courtroom. GLC courses such as CCF DNA taught me core values like truthfulness and integrity so that I avoided corrupt practices like bribery during legal proceedings. The discipline of praying and Bible study helped me fight the temptation to lust as I claim God's promises like in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, which says that God is faithful. He will not let us be tried beyond what we are able to bear. But with the trial, will also provide a way out so that we may be able to endure it. My life as a Christian is not exempt from problems and trials. God uses difficulties and problems to lead me to seek His presence more. I experienced one of the worst trials in my life in 2010, when God broke the idol in my heart, a relationship that I prioritized above Jesus Christ. But with the heartbreak came a breakthrough in my commitment to completely surrender every detail of my life to the Lord. After that, God entrusted to me a D group of single men after the 40 Days of Love campaign in March of 2011. I also started serving in CCF ministries such as Next Gen, the Law Ministry, and the Apologetics Forum. In April this year, by the grace of God, I finished GLC Level 4 and joined the 1,000-plus GLC graduates in a commitment to lead in His presence. For me, Christianity is always putting Christ at the very throne of our lives. As stated in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Christ must not only be prominent in our lives, He must always take first place in our hearts and in the center of our lives. I am Christopher Lycurgus Kimpo Moranya, a lawyer for God's glory and a servant of the Lord Jesus. To Him alone be all the praise, honor, thanks, and glory.
Praise God. Let's give God another clap offering. I realize God is really in the business of transforming lawyers. Amen? No more further comment. I want to welcome all of us. If you are our guests, we have a special room dedicated for you. And do you realize guests are very important? So I like all the existing members. If you see new faces, new people, can you be very welcoming to them, smile at them? Can you turn to your neighbor this morning and say, good morning, welcome to CCF. I like to also welcome and say hello to our J-Zoners. Everybody say hi to the J-Zoners. They are going to be worshiping with us live later this morning in Tagaytay. There are 400 college kids having a leadership conference. So let's pray for the J-Zoners. So everybody say hi. Hi. Hi, Marty and company. And I was told also to remind all of you to enroll in GLC. Now, the beauty with GLC is you don't have to always come to this class together. We have classroom GLC. We have internet GLC. So you can do this at home, and you can do this as a small group. But my advice is this. Before you even try to study other materials, maybe from other churches, nothing wrong with them, I suggest you study first GLC 1, 2, 3. Is that okay with you? And then after 3, you decide whether you want to continue GLC 4. But to me, GLC 2 is so foundational. I have requested Pastor Desmond and Jing to please stand up. They are in charge of our GLC, okay? Desmond, Jing, you see that lady, Jing? I tell you, she works very hard to make sure you can study at home. You can study at your own convenience. This was designed for business people. Sometimes you travel, and you don't always have the same time available. So I hope, if you want to grow some more, number one, study the Bible. Amen? Read the whole Bible every year. But then, for further education, go through the GLC. Let's pray for Chris together, if you don't mind. Everybody, let's pray. Father God in heaven, I thank you for Chris, for transforming his life. We now pray for special protection, that you will guard him from temptation. Thank you for giving him victory over past vices. At the same time, Lord, I know that sinful habits have a way of coming back again and again. So we pray for him that he will continue to practice living in your presence. Bless his life, his ministry. Use him mightily as he brings other lawyers to your kingdom, as he leads small group, as he leads Bible studies. We also thank you for answering our prayers, especially in the latest impeachment court proceedings. Thank you for giving the senators wisdom. Lord, it is my prayer that this country will really be transparent, that our leaders will realize they are accountable to you and to the people, that you guide our president wisdom as he fights graft and corruption. Lord, there are many things we cannot do, but you can do it. And I now pray for all those couples who are hurting, families that are suffering financially, emotionally. I think of our Tai Tai church that got burned. I pray that as they worship this morning, you will also guide them, bless them. And I think of the J-Zoners as they continue meeting today that all of these 400 leaders will be so inspired and so committed to live for you that they'll transform the landscape of young people in our country and eventually the Philippines. I now commit to you our worship service today. Teach me what to say. Override my preparation. Speak to the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. This morning, we continue our series on intimacy. But in particular, I want to talk about intimacy through practicing God's presence. Everybody, read this together. Intimacy through practicing God's presence. Would you believe, do you believe that God wants us to know Him? Yes or no? Okay, let's read this verse together. Just a quick review. Why it is important to know God and to know Jesus. Everybody, John 17, verse 3. This is eternal life. That they will join a religion. That they will join CCF. Is that what it says? This is eternal life. What is eternal life? That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. The Bible connects knowing God and Jesus. You cannot separate the two. Jesus tells us, and the Bible tells us, when Christ was born, what will be one of His name? Emmanuel. God with us. Everybody, let's read this verse one more time. What is eternal life? Everybody? That you may know. The word know means what? Intimate. The word used to describe a relationship between a husband and a wife. You'll be intimate with God, and that you will know Him and Jesus Christ. That, my friend, is eternal life. Now, let me ask you, are you growing in your knowledge of the Lord? My prayer is yes. Now, let me ask you a question. What do you think is the most repeated promise in the entire Bible? What do you think is the central promise of the Bible? Is it give you eternal life? Is it the promise of forgiveness? What is God's most repeated promise? Can you whisper to your neighbor your answer? What is God's most repeated promise? You know, I was surprised. When I asked pastors, they are also not aware. Why? Because we take this promise for granted. This is the promise. I will be with you. This is God's desire. I will be with you. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, you see this promise repeated. I'll be with you. For example, in the book of Matthew, let's read this together. Everybody. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And what? And lo, I am with you always. To the end of the age, the word, I am with you always. If you have a NASB Bible, you will see a footnote for the word always. That word always is literally, in the Greek, all the days. I will always be with you all the days, all your days, until the end of the age. So God promised to be with you. This is given to God's people to make sure that you will succeed in His mission for us. What is the context of Matthew 28:20? Is that our mission? What's our mission? What's the mission of CCF? Before you forget, our mission is Matthew chapter 28:19-20. What? Go into all the world and make disciples. So make disciples to make disciples. And the promise is, I am with you always. Amazing promise. Look at another promise. Let's read Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Everybody, make sure that your character is free from the love of money. This is, in a grammatical sense, an imperative. Make sure your character is free from the love of money. Literally, you have the word avarice. Don't be greedy. Free from the love of silver. That's the literal meaning. Make your character be free from the love of silver, from the love of money. To be content. Present tense. Always learn contentment. What is the reason? Now he gives you the reason. Everybody read. What is the reason? For he himself. That's for emphasis. He himself has said. What did he say? I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. If you read that promise, it is not as powerful as if you dissect this in its original language. Because in the original language, you have a repetition of a negative command. It's called a double negative. Then I discovered it is not just a double negative. I'll explain to you. To make sure that you understand God will never leave you, in the original, it says this. I will never, no, never, I will never, ever, ever leave you. In other words, God repeats. U-me. U-me. He repeats. I will never leave you. I will never, ever leave you. Now the word, the first word is I will never desert. The word desert is from the word that describes I will never relax my hold on you. I will never lose my grip on you. I will never allow you to sink and drown. Meaning, I will not let you go. That's the idea, desert. And then the next word, nor will I ever forsake. The word forsake means, listen now, this is very important. I will not abandon you. The context is this. In your time of greatest need, when you are destitute, when you are in a crisis, God is saying, I will not forsake you. That word is used to describe how Demas forsook the Apostle Paul when he needed him most. I discover when you need help, many times people will forsake us. When people are prosperous, they have many friends. But suddenly when you are down, 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 you will notice something. Your friends have a tendency to evaporate. Yes or no? But God is saying, I will never, ever, ever, ever leave you or forsake you. So if you add the word forsake, that word forsake, prior to the word forsake, it has three negatives. Never, never, never. So idea, Joey Geronimo, this is not just a double negative. There's another one. I will not forsake you. So triple, meaning God is always with you. Amen? Can you turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, God is with you. You know, our problem is this. We are ignorant. Because sometimes we feel, how can God be with me when I'm so bad? I will share with you from the Bible how the first time you see this promise, I will be with you, is used in the Bible. Would you like to know how? All right. Now, before I show you, let me just share with you our dilemma. Our dilemma is we don't know this truth, that God is present with us. If you know, you are not aware. You don't practice His presence. Let me give an example. Some time ago, my grandson, I believe when he was still young, when he was maybe 5-6 years old, he discovered God is with us. God is with him. And he came to talk to my wife and to me. He said, Grandpa, Angkong, Ama, I discovered something. I am no longer afraid of the dark. Why? Because the Lord is with me. A child can comprehend the significance of God's presence. Do you realize one of my worst mistakes before when I was younger? I watched the movie Dracula. Now, Those of you who are my age, years ago when Dracula was shown, I was a teenager. It was really, at that time, to me it was so scary. And for them to overcome Dracula, they either have to use, you remember the cross like this? Okay, do you remember those days? Now, I was not yet a Christian. And I was scared. At night, I want to make sure I don't expose my neck. Because I'm afraid if I sleep, Dracula will come and bite my neck. And then I will have a red blanket. For whatever reason, in my mind, red will fight against Dracula. So I would sleep like this. Then the day came. That's why, by the way, parents, I tell my sons, don't bring your children to just any kind of movies. My daughter learned something years ago. I was not careful. I showed her that movie, remember, Alien? It was a series in a television, Alien. You know what my daughter thought? I was an alien. She began to doubt me because we have this crazy imagination. I have this crazy imagination that Dracula might come at night. Because that's the movie, the music. Then you see the, you know, tomb slowly open. My goodness. Now, in my house, we have a long hallway when I was a teenager. And I was scared of the dark. So I was that, but I became a child of God. I invited Jesus. Then I learned this truth. You know how I walk in the dark? I was no longer afraid. I would sing, you know, Lord, I would speak to myself, Lord, you are with me. And then I would speak a bit louder, okay? I said, Lord, since all the evil spirits are afraid of you, I am now commanding all evil spirits, Jesus is with me, and if you're around, don't appear, don't show up, okay? Because I was very honest. I said, Jesus, I'm scared of evil spirits. You make sure they don't show up. Practice the presence of God. Are you able to practice the presence of God? Most of us don't know this truth. I remember a young Christian came to my wife. She said, Diana, you know how I pray? No, she's a young Christian, very new in CCF, years ago. She said, when I leave my house, I have the picture of Jesus. And I tell Jesus, goodbye. And then when I come home, I said, Jesus, I'm back. My wife said, that's the wrong prayer. Why would you say goodbye, Jesus? Jesus will never leave you. When you go, is Jesus with you? So some Christians don't pray properly. This is how they pray. Lord, I pray that you give us traveling mercies and Lord, be with us. Why are you going to pray, Lord, be with us? You should say, Lord, I thank you. You are with us. I thank you. You are with me. Don't pray, Lord, be with me when I travel. Is God with you? It's like driving, you know. Can you imagine if I'm driving and my wife is beside me? Every 5 minutes, my wife will turn to me, honey, be with me. Some of you, you don't think of your prayer. You just say words. Acknowledge His presence. Can you turn to your neighbor? Tell your neighbor, practice the presence of God. Jesus is with you. Now, how will that impact your life? Look at verse 6. We confidently say. Notice, it gives you security. The context of Hebrews 13 has to do with Christians being put in prison. Their goods being sequestered by the government because they are Christians. And Paul is saying, listen, He will never leave you nor forsake you. That's the promise of God. And then He tells us, so that we confidently say, listen to me, the purpose for you to know the truth is for you to have peace, for you to have confidence, for you to live in security. There is no security apart from God. Amen? I don't care how rich you are. Most people I've discovered worry about health. They worry about money. They are worried about children. That's their fear. And God is saying, I am with you. Would you like to know how this promise is first mentioned in the Bible? Would you like to know where this promise was mentioned? I am with you. Would you like to know? All right. That's what we'll discuss today. How is that used in the Bible and how do you apply that in your life? One more time, everybody. Intimacy through Louder, one more time. Okay, turn to your neighbor. Look at them in the eyes, okay? Tell your neighbor. Practice God's presence. Are we ready? All right, let's read the first occurrence. Everybody, it is found in the book of Genesis, chapter 26. What's the context of that great promise? Let's read this now. There was a famine in the land, besides the previous famine that had occurred in the days of Abraham. Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. Now, everybody, the context. There was a famine. Do you realize Isaac was born with a silver spoon? Because his father, Abraham, was very rich. And the Bible tells us in the previous chapters, Abraham gave his inheritance to Isaac. Now, Isaac had a dilemma. There's famine. In the days of the early believers, how does famine occur? When there is no rain, when there is no water, what happens to the field? It becomes dusty, it becomes hard, and the problem is, how will you have food? The problem is, how will you provide for the animals? So all of his wealth is tied up to the land. If there's no water, no food, the donkeys, the camels, the cows, the sheep, the goats, they will die. So he was desperate. He thought of his family. How will I provide? By the way, was Isaac in the center of God's will? Yes, he was in the center of God's will. He was in the promised land. In spite of being in the center of God's will, there was a problem. Famine. I like all of you to understand this important truth. God is with us. But it does not mean you're exempted from problems. There was famine. So he decided to go to the Philistines. And then eventually he discovered, I need to go to Egypt. So look at verse 2. Everybody read. The Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the land of which I will tell you. You see, for Abraham, for Isaac, his security should be in a place where there is water and there is food. He wanted to go to Egypt. Now, those of you who have been with me to the Holy Land, one of the first Bible study lessons I teach you is Egypt speaks of man's security. At the time of Isaac, the pyramids were already built. At the time of Isaac, Egypt was advanced in civilization. At the time of Isaac, Egypt was prosperous. It was a world power. So it is very natural to go to Egypt. But God told Isaac, don't go to Egypt. You know, he gave him a promise. Let's read this. Sojourn in this land. And the first time this promise appears, everybody read, I will be with you and bless you. I will give to your descendants all of these lands. I will establish the oath which I swore to your fathers. Notice the context of that promise. I will be with you. What does that mean? I will take care of you. I will protect you. I am your security. Not Egypt. That promise is continued. Let's read this together. Everybody read. I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven. I will give your descendants all these lands. By your descendants, notice the repetition of the word descendants, 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 meaning Isaac, you will survive, your wife will survive, your children will survive. That's a promise. And all the earth will be blessed. Now, if you have a footnote, again, NASB Bible, the last word, descendants. If you look at your Bible, literally, it is what you call a singular complex noun. The word is seed, in your seed. I will bless the whole earth. Who is the seed of Isaac? Who was the seed of Abraham that blessed the whole earth? Answer, Jesus. So the context of the promise, I will be with you, is in the midst of famine, in the midst of problem. Can you see God in your life? Well, don't go to Egypt. Let's read this. Everybody, Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses and trust in chariots because there are many and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they do not look to the Holy One of Israel nor seek the Lord. Some of us are prone to go to Egypt. I don't know what's your Egypt, but God is saying, I am your security, not Egypt. You know, when people want to migrate to America, you know what I tell them? Before you migrate, you pray to God. You seek God. Don't find your security in a place or in people. That's the context of the promise. I am what? With you. Can you turn to your neighbor? Tell your neighbor, practice God's presence. God is with you. Now let me ask you, are you having problems in your life? Is there famine in your life right now? Perhaps your family is having problems. Your husband is about to leave you. Your wife is about to leave you. Your parents are about to separate. You're having financial problems. I don't know. But let me ask you a question. Is God in the midst of the problem? Yes or no? Is God beside you? Yes or no? All right? Tell your neighbor, God is with you. The Bible tells us, everybody read this, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched. Nor will the flame burn you. Our family gave this verse to my daughter this week. Because my daughter called us long distance. And I want you to pray for my grandson, Levi. Because my daughter said, Levi's head, my last grandson, my 10th grandson, the head is growing disproportionately. It's big. Now, some doctors feel it's okay, but we don't want to take a chance. So my daughter wanted a doctor to really examine. Because for the head to grow a certain size, it becomes a bit abnormal. And there can be cephalus is the brain, cephalus, okay? Hydro water, maybe there's water, or maybe there's tumor, we don't know. But I praise God for my daughter. My daughter said, Dad, I was really bothered, but I processed this. And then my son gave my daughter this verse. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you go through the fire, I will be with you. You won't be scorched. In other words, the presence of God does not mean you will not have problems. But it simply means in the midst of problem, God is with us. Can you turn to your neighbor? Remind your neighbor, God is with you. Tell them. Now, can you remind yourself? Can you just look at yourself? God is with me. God is with us. Amen? But did you know something? Isaac flunked the test. I discovered you can know in the head God is with you and you don't act accordingly. Just like you today. You know God is with us. Amen? But the way you behave and that truth don't always jibe. For example, how many of you are anxious? You worry? Raise your hands. Why are you anxious and worried? You know, I gave this message a few years ago. I thought you have overcome worry already. But you're very honest with me. Do you worry? All right. When God gives us that promise, I will never, ever, ever, ever leave you, should that solve your worry? Louder. Depends whether you will believe and apply or believe and not apply. Isaac flunked. You know why? Let me tell you how he flunked the test. Continue reading. Genesis 26, verse 7. He stayed in the land. When he stayed in the land, the king saw a beautiful girl. And the king said, in Tagalog, sino ba yung magandang babae na yan? When the man of the place asked about his wife, everybody read, he said, she's my sister. He was afraid to say my wife, thinking the man of the place might kill me on account of Rebecca. She is beautiful. Now, ladies, be honest with me now. If somebody meets you and your husband together, and they ask your husband, who is this lady? And the husband said, sister ko, missus, will you get angry with your husband? Anong sister, sister? Pak, pak! Look, look, I am your wife! Yes or no? Imagine, why did Isaac lied? You see, when you are in fear and you don't practice the presence of God, many times you compromise your ethics because you are afraid of the consequence. You see, fear is a real emotion. Anxiety is a real emotion. And many times we forget to apply. God is here and He will take care of this problem. But most of us, we want to take care of our own problem. So how do we take care of our own problem? We manipulate, we lie, we pretend. That's the problem. Now, do you think God will allow Isaac to go through with this kind of lying? By the way, where did Isaac learn to lie? Where? From his father. His father did the same thing. You see, when God promised Abraham, I'm going to bless you, even though he did not promise literally, I am with you, but the implication is, I am with you. You know, Abraham lied how many times? Glenn, how many times? 2 times. Like father, like son. So parents, look at me now. Your bad habits are being copied by your children. You know, people often ask me, how come my children are like this? Very simple. You know, you guys are very smart. The 8 o'clock people is very smart. Like mother, like father, like what? The children. I always tell our pastors, we don't have problematic children in our church. We have problematic parents. And the problem is this. Some parents don't even realize they are bad examples. But that's not the lesson today. The lesson is, God is present. So, you know what God did? God will rebuke us many ways. Let's read this. It came about when he had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out through a window and saw and behold, Isaac was caressing his wife, Rebekah. You know the word caressing? In Tagalog, pahipo-hipo dyan, touch-touch dyan. Literally, sporting, he was sporting with Rebekah. And the king is pretty smart. The king said to Isaac, behold, certainly she is your wife. How then did you say she is your sister? You know why? Brothers and sisters, don't hippo-hippo. You know what I mean? You don't do those things. And then Isaac confessed, because I'm afraid I might die on account of her. Can you imagine? Isaac was willing to risk the purity of his wife to save his own neck. Without the presence of God, we are all cowards. And then, the most amazing thing, Abimelech said, everybody read this, what is this you have done to us? Now, remember the tone. Can you imagine the tone? I think the tone is pretty harsh. It is not like the tone of people living in Bacolod. What is this you have done? No, no, no. Hindi Bacolod ito. This is probably more like the Cantonese. What is this you have done to us? One of the men might easily have slain, might lay with your wife. Comprende? Yeah, but he did not say comprende. That just me. You would have brought guilt upon us. In Tagalog, anong ginagawa mo? You see, the pagan king is even more righteous than Isaac. Abimelech charged all the people. He who touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. You know, Isaac began to learn that God can protect my wife and my family. That I don't need to lie. That God is capable. But ladies and gentlemen, you will not see the power of God in your life until you learn to practice the presence of God. How you respond to problems. you must always remind yourself, God is here. Lord, you are here. How are we going to solve this problem? God is here. Lord, this is your problem. That is the meaning of practicing the presence of God. You are to be aware of His presence. I submit to you. Let's read this together. Spiritual maturity is simply increasing our capacity to experience the presence of God and to act accordingly. You want to grow. I know you want to pursue intimacy. You practice intimacy with God by what? By reminding yourself, by being conscious of His presence. You know, I've known husband and wife. They live in the same house. They are present together, but they are also not present together. Is that possible to be physically present, but to be emotionally also absent? Yes. I've seen husbands and wives in the same house, but they are literally as if not living together. I've seen families. The children don't talk to the father. Live in the same place. You know why? God is with us. But if you are not conscious, if you don't act accordingly, it's useless. He's present, but as if He's not present. You have to be conscious. This is a truth. You have to avail, appropriate the truth. You must say, Lord, I thank you. You are here. See, Satan would like to make you so confused that you forget God is present. Amen? So, can I tell you now? The Lord is with you. Tell your neighbor, the Lord is with you. Practice the presence of God. Now, how do you know you're practicing the presence of God? How do you respond to adversity? You know, Isaac, praise God, he began to learn, to practice. You know why? Look at the next verse. Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. Let me ask you. When there is famine, everybody look at me now, there's no water, the earth is dry, the earth is hard, lots of dust, will you sow your precious seeds? What are the risks of sowing seeds when there is no rain? The seeds will be blown away by the desert wind, and you will lose your seeds. It takes faith to appropriate God's presence. You must do your part. God told Isaac, stay. Now, some people will stay, but they will not sow. They just stay. Oh, sige, Lord, produce food. No, no, no. Practicing the presence of God, you have to do your part. You got to sow. It's risky. But you know, some Christians, they don't sow seeds. You're afraid. You're afraid of failure. God is with you. Amen? So the Bible tells us, and the Lord bless him. Not the rain, not the land, it's the Lord. Your security must never be in the land. It should be in the Lord, who is the one who's going to bless you. Amen? Now continue reading. And the man became rich. Continued to grow richer until he became very, very rich. He had possessions for flocks, herds, great households, so that the Philistines envied him. Today, what will you sow? Are you sowing seeds? You know, I try to look at the Bible. How do I make this message applicable? Do you believe God wants you to sow seeds? Yes or no? You know, I saw the closest parallel to sowing seeds is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It has to do with the seeds of generosity. Let's read this together, everybody. He who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. Let each of you do just as he has purpose on his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. God loves a cheerful giver. The context of the entire chapter 9 has to do with giving. And then if you continue reading, the Bible said, He will multiply your seeds for giving. You know, most of us never experience the blessing of generosity. Why? Because in your mind, the seeds Your little money that you have, you are afraid if you give it away, you're going to go hungry. So you don't tithe, you don't give to God's work. You are thinking, I got to keep this. No, listen to me. If you keep eating your own seeds, how will you multiply? You ask the people here who are generous. I know many of you are generous. I guarantee you what they will tell you. I can never outgive God. I see this in my own life. I see this in the life of the people I know. When I give to the Lord, He who sows what? Abundantly? Reap abundantly. But you got to sow seeds of faith. Amen? But most of us are afraid. Because you're afraid. Reality is, it's scary to give. I made my mistake a few years ago. I kept the money. Imagine, I've been a believer for many years. I said, you know what? I better invest this in the stock market first. So that it will grow more. Building fund. I tell me I'm building fund. My goodness. The Lord taught me a hard lesson. So finally I said, Lord, no matter what. Purpose in my heart. God loves what? You know what's a cheerful giver? That's the word for hilarion. Hilarious. When you give, you know, we don't pass the offering. Amen? We don't pass. You know why? We want you to give willingly. Hindi yung, ako, kakahiya naman. No, no. You give cheerfully. When you give, ha, 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 what a privilege. Hmm. You know, some of you will not know what I'm talking about until you apply this in your life. I tell people the best cure for financial problem, pay God first. Bless Him. You don't believe me? It's up to you. The Bible tells us, He was tested again. Everybody, let's read this. Now, all the wells which His father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistine stopped up by filling them with earth. Abimelech said to Isaac, go away. You are too powerful for us. Isaac departed from there and came in the valley of Gerar and settled there. Now, listen to me. At this time, what will you be thinking? Lord, pambira ka naman. I am in your will. I am here. I followed you. You have blessed me. But Lord, look at my problem. The people don't like me anymore. See, following God does not exempt us from problems. And the Bible tells us, Isaac, everybody read, Isaac dug again the wells of water which had been dug in the days of his father, Abraham. The Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. He gave them the same names which his father had given them. Let me ask you a question. How important are wells? How important is water? That's your livelihood. That's your security. Who owns the wells? Answer? At this time, who owns the wells? Abraham? If it's owned by Abraham, who is the inheritor? Isaac. So who owns the well? Isaac. Who took it from them? The Philistines. You know what Isaac did? Let's find out. When Isaac's servants, the Bible tells us Isaac gave up the wells. Okay? Now let's read this. Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of flowing water. The herdsman of Gerar quarreled with the herdsman of Isaac, saying, the water is ours. He named the well Ezek because they contended with him. So they found water. They left the well, went to another place. They dug. They found water. The Philistine said, no, 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 that's ours. Now be honest with me. What will you do? If you're Isaac. Isaac saw the presence of God. Isaac practiced, God, you are here. My faith is not in this well. My faith is in you. You want the well? Okay. Read the next verse. They dug another well. They quarreled over it too. He named it Sitna. Sitna means what? Contention. Sometimes it means hatred. These guys hate me. He moved away. Now, look at me now. Everybody look at me. When somebody take advantage of you the first time, is it easy to forgive the first time? Second time, can you still forgive? Third time, can you still forgive? Or will you say, in Tagalog, enough is enough. Enough is enough. Yes? Will you now take vengeance? Now listen to me. Is God present? Yes or no? Before you take vengeance, you pray. Lord, what do you want me to do? See, there are times when you stand up for your rights. I agree. But if you want my experience, I've seen wives living with husbands who are not exactly responsible, who are abusive, and my heart goes out to the wives. I want to tell you something. When the Bible says God is present, the Bible is saying God knows what you are going through, God knows your heartaches, and God is saying, I will defend you. I will protect you. God knows. How do you respond? Then the Bible tells us, what did Isaac do? Okay. Let's continue reading. Verse 23. He moved away from there, dug another well. They did not quarrel over it. He named it Rehoboth. Now, what is the meaning of the word Rehoboth? Everybody read the next phrase. The word Rehoboth means broad and spacious. The Lord has broadened my space. If you let God fight for you, you let God choose for you, oftentimes He leads you to the best of the very best, Rehoboth. Now, if you are Isaac, what will you be thinking? I know what you'll be thinking. You know what I'll be thinking? Baka babalik ng mga tao dito. Yes or no? Will you be anxious? Yes. You know what God did? God reassured him. Let's read this. The Lord appeared to him the same night. And repeat. Everybody read. I am the God of your father, Abraham. Do not fear. I am with you. The second time this promise is repeated in the Bible is this verse. I am with you. Will you turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, God is with you. Yeah, God is with you. You know what Isaac did? He built an altar and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servant dug a well again. Can I tell you something? In time of prosperity, it is so easy to forget God. In time of prosperity, it is so easy not to see God. But for Isaac, in time of prosperity, he built an altar. He wanted to see God. Do you believe it is easier to think of God when you are in trouble than it is to think of Him when you are prosperous? The greatest danger for Christians, if you ask me, is not adversity. 90% of Christians will survive adversity. When you are in trouble, you learn to get on your knees. You learn to pray. But when you are prosperous, when everything is going well for you, you can begin to forget God. You don't see God anymore in your life. You begin so preoccupied with material things, and you fail to see God. Don't allow that to happen. Practice the presence of God in good times, in bad times. He built an altar. He worshiped God. If you practice the presence of God, you begin to live a life of worship. You know, some time ago, there was a girl by the name of Yolanda Lugo. Yolanda Lugo was questioning God. Because at the age of 20, she developed cancer, Hodgkin's disease, the cancer of the lymph system. A young girl, very promising career, she wanted to join the New York police force. She could not understand why God allowed her to have cancer. She was questioning God, why me, Lord? Why me? But you know, by the grace of God, she survived the fight. There was a remission. She survived. At the age of 24, she became a New York police officer. She was in the 84th precinct, the Brooklyn area. While she was driving home, passing a narrow bridge to go to the Staten Island, she saw a man driving a car very fast. And this man stopped in the middle of the traffic, climbed the bridge, and the man wanted to jump to commit suicide. Now, this girl decided to stop and climb the bridge also and appeal to the man. And the man said, don't come near me. I have lots of problems. And you don't know what problem is all about. I know a problem. Don't come near me. I'm going to kill myself. The girl said, I know a problem. The man said, what do you mean you know a problem? The girl said, I know a problem. I have cancer in my lungs. I have cancer in my kidneys. I have cancer all over. I have problems. And they began to talk. And the amazing thing is this. The man changed. The man began to realize this girl understood problem. So the guy, in less than an hour, the guy went down with her. Now when she went home, she thought it was nothing. Her mother told her the next day, and she didn't even know this. She said, "You are a celebrity. You are all over the news." She said, "Why, did I win the jackpot?" She said, No. "You are called a blue angel. You just saved a man's life." She said, "Yes." You see, this girl began to realize God used her cancer to save the life of somebody who is about to commit suicide. You know why? This guy's problem was with his wife. Marital problem. I realize for some husband, the problem of a wife is worse than cancer. Amazing. But she was able to help him. You know, the Bible tells us Abimelech came. And Abimelech came to Isaac. Isaac said, verse 27, "Why are you coming to see me now? Since you hate me. Ayaw mo naman ako. Balik ka babalik sa akin." Remember, in times of prosperity, you must act and behave in the presence of God. That means forgiveness. That means kindness. That means reconciliation. You know, Isaac reconciled. The pagan king said, "We see plainly that the Lord has been with you. So we said, let there now be an oath between us. Let us make a covenant. You will do us no harm, just as we have done you nothing but good." Is that true? Of course not. You are now the blessed of the Lord. Can you imagine the unbelievers saw God in the life of Isaac? That is what will happen to you. If you practice the presence of God, the people around you will see God in your life. And that is my prayer. When people look at me, when people look at us, they will see God. Now let me ask you. Question number one. Do you see God in every area of your life? Yes or no? Number two. Can others see God in your life? Or do they see? Kristiyano ba yan? I don't know. I want you to grow. You practice the presence of God. Recently, my wife and I met a couple, extremely rich. And a lot of people are intimidated by this couple. But the Lord reminded me, practice the presence of God. So during this time together, I was silent, but I was saying, "Lord, what do you want me to say?" My wife was praying, "What do you want me to say?" And after a while, we were talking. I asked the man, "You believe in God?" He said, "Yes, I believe in God." He said, "I'm a good man, but I don't go to church. I don't read the Bible, but I'm a good man." Now, that bothered me. Because the girl that he's with, and he told us, is not his wife. But he said he's a good man. Everybody's afraid of him. So I prayed. Will I be scared? Or will God give me wisdom? So finally, my wife was talking to the lady. I was talking to the man. I asked the man, "Are you married?" He said, "Yes." I said, "When you go back, are you living with your wife?" He said, "Yes." So you are married. You are living with your wife. So what about this girl? But you know what he told me after that? No more question. No more question. In other words, I knew his heart was affected. He tells me he's a good man. But he's not living with his wife. He's traveling with another woman. And my friend, when you practice the presence of God, you become careful with what you say. You see, it will be very convenient for me not to say anything. Not to talk about God, not to talk about anything. But the Lord reminded me, I must love people. I really love this man. My heart goes out for him. I love his girlfriend. My heart goes out for her. But I know there's no future there. They need the Lord. So when I spoke about the Lord, it was not hitting them. It was out of love. And the proof of that is, he became our friend. After we talked about this, the next day, he invited us again. Now, this did not happen in the Philippines, okay? We were in a foreign country. My whole point is this. Sometimes, when you're afraid to talk about Jesus, you must remind yourself, God is here. Amen? Now, this is the most amazing thing about the word bless. You know, the Lord connects God's presence and bless. Do you know the Chinese word for bless? This is the Chinese word for bless. God connects him with blessing. Amen? Look at the Chinese character for the word bless. That word stands for God, the left side. That's God. On the right side, echo, that's a person. And underneath that word is a garden. A man in a garden beside God is the meaning of the word bless. That's Adam. When Adam was in the garden and God was with him, that's bless. The Chinese knew that if you have property, you have a garden, but you don't have God, it's not blessing. Now listen to me. Is God with you? Yes or no? All right. God is a blessing. Turn to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, you are blessed. This should be your prayer, okay? Let me tell you, my prayer is this. That today, you will open your eyes and see God's presence in your life. Is that okay with you? You will see God's presence. Can I tell you, most of us don't automatically see God's presence. Remember the story of, before I show you the verse, I want you to know about, do you recall there's a passage in the Bible, the servant of Elisha? When Elisha was surrounded by a king who wanted to capture him, because Elisha was the prophet of God and the servant was so nervous. What prayer did Elisha do? This is the prayer I'd like you to learn, okay? Let's read the background. Everybody read. When the attendant of God, the man of God, had risen early, gone out, behold, an army with horses, chariots was circling the city. His servant said, "My master, what shall we do?" The servant was scared, surrounded by an enemy. And then Elisha said, everybody read. Everybody, do not fear. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Now, honestly, if I were the servant and I'm going to count, all right, he looked at the window. Dami, dami mga sundalo. All the enemies of the king is about to capture them. And then Elisha said, relax ka lang. Mas marami tayo. He count. One, two. Repeat. One, two, three, four. No, no. Elisha said, relax. Can I tell you, if you are anxious, if you are worried, why? Because you don't see God present. Like the servant, you are anxious. Some of you are always worried. In fact, your middle name is worry. You love to worry. You worry if you don't worry. You know the prayer you need to learn? Everybody read this. Elisha prayed and said, everybody, oh Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he saw. Behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. That's my prayer. My prayer is that your eyes will be open. But in the midst of your problems, in the midst of your crisis, you learn to see God. You are not alone. God is with us. Amen? How do you see this? Can you read that for me? Louder. You know, for some people, this is how they read it. God is nowhere. But for some whose eyes are open, God is now here. I want to pray as you meditate on one song. This song, I really believe, is loved by the world. They love to sing this song. But you cannot sing this song, honestly. If you don't have the Lord with you, would you like to hear this song? Now imagine, this is a song for you. And I want you to imagine God walking with you as you listen to this song. Is it okay with you? Listen to the song.
Walk through a storm, hold your head up high, and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm is a golden sky, and the sweet silver song of the lark. Oh, 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 oh.
One day, at the end of your journey, when you transition from this life to the next life, no human being can walk beside you. But God will walk beside you. He will lead you to your home, because you never walk alone. God is always present. I want you to imagine, if you practice the presence of God today, right this moment, when you leave this place, I want you to be conscious of God's presence. Every moment of the day, every opportunity. When you're about to get angry, practice the presence of God. When you go to the elevator, before you want to push other people away, practice the presence of God. When you are tempted to go into pornography, you practice the presence of God. God is beside me. When you are tempted to do something that's not right, you say, God, you are present with me. When you are facing problems, you say, God, you are present with me. You know, I began to practice this past few weeks. It has changed my life. My intimacy with God has grown. When I wake up in the morning, I say, Lord, good morning. When I go, I say, Lord, thank you. You are with me. Will you do that? Starting now. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I thank you that you promised to be with us. Lord, perhaps there may be some of us here who have never experienced inviting you into their lives. They've been pushing you away. They're so busy with their own agenda. Lord, I believe you are speaking to them, telling them it's time to come home. Lord, will you remind them by faith that you long to be with us, that you are with us. Help us to practice your presence. Lord, I thank you today. I thank you at this very moment that you are with me, that you are with us. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for being our security, our trust and confidence. It's not in Egypt. It is not in the land. It is not in wealth. It is not in material things. But Lord, our confidence is in you, because you are always with us. And we will never, ever walk alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.